Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Chulin Daf Tes. We are holding on the second line off the top of the Amud. V'Amar Rav Yehuda, he quotes Amar Rav. Talmud Chacham, it's not enough that he's very learned and very proficient on the intellectual side of things. He needs to have hands-on proficiency as well. Sarah She'ilmoit, Gimel Dvarim, he must practice and become accustomed to being an expert, hands-on expert, on the following three things. Ksav, knowing how to write, how to sign his name in a document. Some actually say it's talking about the Ksav of Sefer Torah, and then you know how to write the Ksav Stam, Sefer Torah Tilo Mezuzos. If it should come to a situation where he has to step in and, you know, fix something, whatever. Shechita, says Rashi on the fourth line, La'aman yodeh l'kach. To accustomize himself, to get hands-on experience. Sha'afilu boki b'chaseh, even though he's an expert, he learned Maseches Chul, he knows Yerideya, by heart. He needs that hands-on ability as well. U'mila, and to do a bris mila. Rav Chananya bar Shlamya, he quotes Mishmei de Rav Amar, he has another three to the list. Af kesher shel tefillin, he needs to be able to handle a kesher shel tefillin. Sometimes you have to make an adjustment, you have to, you know. So he has to know how to tie and untie the kesher of the tefillin. Brichas chasanim, listen to this is a shever brachas. He has to be proficient in shever brachas. The Meiri adds, to be able to say it properly with a nice tune, the way it's said, right? And finally, the tzitzis, how to tie tzitzis. V'idach, now why did the first opinion not list these on the list? Hanishchichan, because these things are more commonly, commonly people know these things, so it's not so critical that, every Talmud Chacham has to be an expert in these things, because there's enough people to go around that would know how to do these things. V'om Rav Yehuda Shmuel, kol tamach sheniyodeh hashchita. So we have a tabach, who is a sheichet / butcher. Apparently, it was all in one in those days. So if he doesn't know, he's not an expert in the halachos of shechita. Asur la'echol mishechita, so you can't eat his meat. Ve'elo in hilchas shechita. What are the halachos? Shehiya, right? Delay, not to take a break in the middle of the act of shechita. Darsat, not to come down too hard. It has to be with a back and forth. A smooth motion as opposed to just a chop. Chalada is like a chulda, like a little rat that hides and runs through the holes, runs through tunnels, burrows through the tunnels. Likewise, the knife has to come from the outside and slice through rather than being stuck inserted into the in between the simanim and sort of chop its way out. Hagrama is when you veer the knife out of the area of the shechita, so you're starting in the right place, but then you veer out beyond the kosher, zone of the shechita. V'ikar, or if one or both of the simanim were yanked out of their place, so these are critical to the shechita process. And if he's not proficient in the intricacies of the halachics pertaining to these matters, you can't do shechita, you can't trust him. Maika mashmal, what's the point of Shmuel teaching lesson? We know. Kulu, all these deficiencies, taninu, have been discussed, the Mishnah is coming up later in the Masechta. Of course he has to know these things, otherwise there's nothing to talk about. The answer is like, tzricha must be speaking sheshachad lefaneinu, beiz v'gimu pa'amim. What happened was the shechad has already established himself. He has a good reputation. Look, he's done quite a few shechitas in front of us, successful shechitas. V'shachad shofar, he did a proper shechita. Ma'odatim, perhaps you can think, even though he's not a world expert in the halachis, but the fact is, in terms of hands-on, he must have learned, he must have had some training, and he sees he's doing it okay. Midiidach shachat shafer, since those he shechted okay, hainam shachat shafer, perhaps we should assume this one as well was shechted properly. Kamashma, the answer is no. Don't make any assumptions. Kivan de leigamar, since he hasn't studied in depth the halachis, sometimes he might luck out and do it properly, but sometimes he might not realize. Without realizing, Zimna Deshoi Vidaris, he might delay, he might press too hard. Valiyada, without realizing that it's even a problem. So after the sheikh had shechted the simonim, he has to take a close look at those simonim to ensure that they were shechted properly. That, you know, the most of these simonim were shechted. There has to be at least a roiv by a behemah, has to be roiv of both simonim. So he has to go take a look at each simon and see whether it was shechted roiv. Amar of Yosef, af ana namitanina. I will support this halacha from a Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im shah. So he relates to the psul called Shehiyah, right? Which we said before means that if he takes a break, how long is the break going to be to invalidate the shechita? Im shah, kadei bikur, if the break, the pause, was long enough to theoretically do the inspection, then it constitutes an invalid shechita. Now, what type of inspection are we speaking? Apparently, there is a need to make an inspection as part of the process. My lab will assume could they bigger simon to check the simon. So you see, that's required. Amar Labai, no, lo, yachik amar b'yechon, the bigger chacham. A different inspection. The time it takes to take the knife, shechita knife, to the chacham, to the city, you know, rav, to show him the knife to inspect it before the shechita. That's the inspection process he's referring to, but not the simon and after the shechita. Says the Gemara, but that's difficult to suggest, because in Cain, if that's the amount of time you're talking about, it's really subjective. It's all relative to whether, you know, if the Chacham lives around the corner. It depends if he lives around the block or around the other side of town. I mean, how could you set that as a formula? In Cain, osatat v'recha, you've presented your words, your halacha, lishyurim, dependent on all kinds of factors which are unknown. You're right. We're speaking about inspecting the knife, but not where it requires you traveling to the chacham, because again, that's an unknown proposition. We're speaking that the tabach himself is the chacham, the shechet himself is the chacham, who is going to inspect the knife. And then, you know, he's right there, he's on site, so it's a pretty determined, preset amount of time, how long it takes to run his finger along the knife. But in any case, Shmuel did tell us. We didn't have the right, but Shmuel did teach us that you have to check the simanim after shechita. Suppose he didn't. He failed to check the simanim to confirm that they were mostly cut. What's the status of the animal? Certainly you can't eat it until you confirm that it was shechted properly. The question is it only forbidden for consumption, or perhaps it's even tummy? Because a non-shechted dead animal is, for all practical purposes, a nevela, a dead carcass, which is a source of tumah as well. We have machlekes. Loi badak mai. What's the status? Rabbi Lezer ben Antignus mishum Rabbi Lezer ben Bianai Omar. He says it's just a treifa. Vasur b'achil. You can't eat it. It's like a treifa, like an animal which was discovered to be injured, and it's not a kosher animal for eating. But it's not metame. Masnisa tana. However, in the Brisa we learn a step further. Nevelu metame b'masa. It's treated like a dead animal, as though there was no shechita at all, and it's metame, even if you just lift it without touching it. Look at it. What's the machlekes about? Michael Mifflin, listen to this interesting novel, Lundus. But the Rav Huna, the machlekes revolves around Rav Huna. Dam Rav Huna, behema b'chaya, b'cheskas isuri mepes. You know, a behema during its lifetime is presumed to be, it is, in a state of isur, right? Because you can't eat a live animal, eiver b'nachai, right? So he says that status remains. It retains that status until you know otherwise, until there was a status change by way of a proper shechita, a confirmed proper shechita, which in this case you don't have. So it stays asur. Until it is known to you, meaning it is confirmed to you, how, what, where the shechita occurred. Now, nishchata, on the other hand, once the shechita occurred, we flip to the other side of the coin. That affects a status change. It is presumed to be mutter, unless you know otherwise. Harei b'cheskas heter has a heter status. Ad shiyavada l'cha. Unless you know that it was a trefa, basically you know otherwise. That's the formula that we're working with now. Back to our story. You did shechita, but you failed to check the simanim to confirm the success of the shechita. Mar sava b'cheskas isur kaima. So one shita says, look, if you haven't confirmed a proper shechita, so it retains its original status, its asur, and now that it's dead, it's an avela. A dead animal is an avela. Becheskas isur kam vashtu mesahi. So it's metami. Amar sovar, no, listen to this. Becheskas isur amrinan. Sure. Initially, during its lifetime, it was in an isur status. Okay, just hold on to that status. You can't give it more. You want to maintain that status, fine. So even now, after the shechita, the unconfirmed shechita, fine, consider it to be still asur. But you can't give it a new layer of deficiencies, i.e. tumah. It's going to be free of tumah. You can't give it tumah. It's something it didn't have during its lifetime. Very interesting. Goofa, let's go back and review the halacha of Rav Huna, Amar Rav Huna. What's the formula that we're working with? Behema b'chayiha b'cheskes Yisrael medes, right? Ad she'ivad l'cha b'men ishchato. So during its lifetime it was in a state of Israel, unless you know otherwise. On the other hand, after shchita occurs, nishchato b'cheskes Yisrael medes. Changes our outlook. It's presumed to be heter, unless you know otherwise. Ad she'ivad l'cha until it's confirmed otherwise, b'men ishchato. Now, the second half of the statement. Velema, why couldn't he just say nishchato? Once the shchita occurs, Hutra becomes mutter, plain and simple. Instead of saying, well, after shechita, you presume that it's mutter, unless, I mean, that sounds like there's some sort of doubt, some sort of problem here. What problem? How come Mashmah, the point of what he's teaching us is like this? Even though there is an issue. The Avagavdis Yalad Bareyosa. Once shechita took place, even though there was some sort of new issue, there's a reyosa, there's a problem, it's still considered kosher unless you know otherwise, because now it has a cheskas, it acquired a cheskas heter. What's the example? What's the case of a possible deficiency? Kedavoy minei, as was asked by Rabbi Abba from Merav Huna, bo zev v'noto b'nei mi'ay, ma'or. So a wolf comes and grabs the intestines of the shechted animal. He shechted, and the animal comes and grabs the intestines. And we know that a punctured intestine renders the animal treifa. That's considered a serious injury which renders the animal treifa, which makes it forbidden. If it was punctured during its lifetime, of course. So now the animal grabbed the bnei mi'ayim. Ma, what's the status of the shechted animal? Says, well, what do you mean? Natal, if he grabbed it and ran away, he'll listen to. They're not here, so what did it even speculate about? Ela nokav bnei mi'ayimal. You saw the wolf puncturing, like he snatched it with his teeth. Ma, so what's the status of the shechted animal with the punctured intestines? Says, well, nokav, well, nikav, if you saw that he punctured it, okachazinan, duhuna kvinus, you saw the wolf did it. I mean, it wasn't there before. It came now. It's after shechita. It doesn't do anything. Elo rather, nothing v'chzirom k'shein yukuvin ma'o. What happened was like this. You had a kosher animal. You shechted it. The wolf grabbed the intestines with his teeth, walked away and came back. And now you have punctured intestines. When did the puncture happen? Now? So it's okay. What was it there before? M'chashin, shall we be concerned? Shema v'mokim nekev nikav. Perhaps the wolf's teeth were inserted exactly on that very same pre-existing puncture. So it's not attributed to the wolf at all. It was there before. It was a pre-existing condition which invalidates the animal. Or should we say, no, it's unlikely. Chances are, intestines were uninjured, unpunctured, the animal's fine and healthy, it was a properly shechted animal, and now the puncture happened through the animal. Omer, Amar Leis, so he responds, Ein choyshishin shema b'mokim nekev nikav. No, we don't speculate that the wolf just happened to snatch it on the pre-existing puncture. No, the puncture was attributed to the wolf, and the animal was deemed to be kosher. And that's exactly what Rav Huna's halacha, that once the shechita took place, you assume it's okay, unless you can confirm otherwise, but speculation doesn't really get in the way. Eisvei, now comes a kosher, really? So we're not choishish for this suffix to invalidate the animal. We have a similar halacha regarding health matters. We know that if there's evidence that a snake pecked at certain types of foods which with high liquid content, fruits, vegetables, we don't partake in those fruits for concern that the snake may have ingested his venom into those foods. Likewise, regarding liquid that was sitting open, right? Anyway, now comes a question from a kasha, from a brayser to sefta. Rod zipor hamnaka b'teina. He notices a bird pecking at the fig. Va'achbor or mouse hamnaka b'avatichem, pecking on the melons. We turn them in base. So now you have pecked fruit. Was it pecked by the bird, which we had observed, which is okay, he's not a venom spewing creature, or perhaps the peck occurred exactly on a puncture that had been there before from a snake, in which case you shouldn't eat this food. How likely? How? What are the chances? Choyshishin, guess what? We are concerned about that far, far out chance. Choyshishin shema b'mokim nekamikav. Perhaps it was a mokim nekav that the animal is now nekav, and it's forbidden for consumption. So you see that we are going to speculate about this type of, you know, unlikely chance. Amar Lasi says, no, you can't compare. Mikum Adam is Isur al Sakanta. You're comparing Sakana, Koch Nefesh issues, where we're more machmer, more strict, more. We have higher standards than regular routine, you know, kashrus issues. Sakana Shani, Sakana is different. Amar Rava. Says Rava, really? Sakana is dealt differently than other Isurim, than Tumah, than Isur. Why, in a case of a suffix sakana, you take a strict approach? Suffix yisur, nami luchumra. The same should be applied to isur. Who wants to do an isur? If there's any doubt, you keep away. Amalei Abayi says, no, there's a difference. Leishani ben yisur sakanta. You don't think there's a difference between isur matters, routine, you know, kashrus issues, or health matters? I'll bring you a riot. There is. But ilu suffix tumah b'shusaram speak a tarf. There's a situation where a person may have encountered tumah in a public area. We assume the best, he's considered tahar. That's the halacha. V'ilu safek mayim megulin asur. But if you have water sitting out in the open, exposed, unattended, unmonitored, you don't touch it for concern that it was tainted by a snake. So you see the difference between sakana, which is held to a higher standard, than just plain, other isurim. Amrili says, no, that's not any indication that if tumah is dealt with less severely than sakana, it's based on a halacha. How do we even know that when there's a suffix regarding tumah, we have to deal with it as that's from saita? The woman deviated, she went into concealment with this person, and we're concerned that perhaps there was some sort of sin, and there was a tumah, and she's forbidden to her husband unless it's, you know, the matter is clarified. So the concept that we have to be concerned about a suffix tumah is learned from Saita, not by Saita. You got to follow the precedent, the model of Saita, which is a place of yichud, a place of hiding, a place of concealment. So we learned that only a suffix tumah which occurs in that type of circumstance has to be dealt with l'chumra. But out in the public, out in the open, suffix of tumah is tar. So there's a special formula. We have to follow that formula. It's not any indication at all that that we treat tumah any less than sakana. We learn from the soita. The whole concept of suffix tumah is from soita, so we have to model these circumstances of the soita. Ma soita is just like by the soita. It's only b'rishus hayoch in a private area af tumah b'rishus yoch. Likewise, an uncertainty regarding tumah is dealt with severely only when it's in rishus hayochet, not in the street, not rishus harab. So you can't really prove anything in terms of comparing tumah to sakana. The halacha of tumah is very different than everything else. Mosav Rav Simi says, Rav Simi, I'm going to actually ask on Rava, meaning I'm going to seek to prove that the Chacham were more strict when it comes to matters of health of Sakana. Sheretz b'fichulda. Fichulda b'malecha sagal b'kikushos shumah. You have a sheretz, a dead creature which is metame, which imparts tumah, that a chulda is clutching in his mouth. Okay, and the rat is running around. Malecha is al-gabekikus shalom on the trum of loaves of bread. We're not sure whether the sheret actually came into contact with the loaves or not. Safek noga, maybe it touched. Safek noga, maybe it didn't touch. Sveikoi tar. We say, since we don't know what's tar, so we see that we're lenient when it comes to these matters, but not when it comes to matters of sakana, of danger. Vilu safek mayim begulim, there's water open and exposed, and we don't know whether it was tainted by a snake, that's asur. So you see, sakana is worse. No, once again, we can differentiate. Again, you're talking about a tuma question, did it touch the breads? Again, that has to be derived from soita. Go back to the source. And you'll see it doesn't apply in this case. Mas soita dovar sheish badas lishoil. What's unique about the soita? It involves people. She's a person who has intelligence. Yesh ba da'as lishoil. She has das. She can be interviewed. She can be asked to verify what happened. So halacha is only one with intelligence is susceptible to these halachas of safek tuma tamei. Afachanam here as well. You can only compare, you can only equate a scenario which features this quality of dovar sheyesh bo das lishoil. So yeah, if a person is involved in tuma, a safek tuma, which is yachid, we were strict, but not a chulda, which has no intelligence. So there's no halacha of safek tuma tuma. Amar Rashi Toshma, I'll prove. Sakana is held to a higher plane than routine kashrus issues. Sleiches or tuma issues. Sleiches shenicha magula. So this is a container with fresh spring water intended for the paraduma use, which is deemed very fragile, very delicate, and we have very, very high standards. Very easy to make a tummy. Shenicha magula, he left it open, exposed without a lid. It comes back 10 minutes later, it's covered. Tmeya, the water is now unsuitable. It's tummy. What do you mean, why is it tummy? We're concerned, Shani Omer, we have a concern. Adam Tomei, Nichnas Lasham, Bekisa. I mean, who covers things? Human beings with intelligence. So we assume that a person who might have been Tomei, I mean, most people are Torah, but like we said, regarding Paraduma waters, we're very Machmer. We assume the worst. Worst case scenario, that it was a person who was personally Tomei, who got involved and touched this and made a Tomei. Adam Tomei, Nichnas Lasham, Bekisa. Now, let's do the opposite. Nichnas Lasham, Bomotz Megula. He left the container covered with a lid. Comes back, it's uncovered. Now, that's something that even an animal could have done. So yeah, we don't have to assume that it was a person. We attribute it to an animal. Now, does the animal invalidate the water? Depends. It's the type of animal that spits back into the water when he drinks. And that mixture now is possible, right? So it depends. If it's accessible to a rat, which sort of spits back while it's drinking, or a snake, which also has that practice according to one shita, the rim gumil. So then you know there's a illegal substance in this water. It's sitting out at night and a dew had landed on it, so it's now mixed with non-spring water. Psula, then you can't use it for the paraduma. But it's not tame, because we don't attribute it to a person like in the first case. Why is it that in this case we're not concerned about it having encountered a person who's tame? Okay, so one yiram now. Because as we explained, Ishadarkan Shashratsim Legalis, in Darkan Lachasis. It's customary for shrotsim, for creatures to come and knock off lids to access the content, access the water. So we attribute it to them, not to a person who's tummy. As opposed to the first case in the other Brysa, where it's exposed and now covered, that has to be a person with intelligence, right? In Darkan Lachasis. So we see that we're lenient in matters of tumma. We attribute it to an animal, not to a person, in the second case. Vilu Savik Mayim Begul Masur. But again, back to the regular halacha of gilui, right? You leave water out in the open. We fear the worst that perhaps a snake came and drank. So you see, in matters of sakana, we don't take chances. Shema mina, we prove from here. Chamira sakanta miyisura shema mina. That's it. That slams the lid. That sakana is considered more severe than isur. Shema mina. Not awesome. Okay, just to finish up this topic. So we speak about exposed liquids being, susceptible to snake venom. Gimel, not hasam. We have a Mishnah in Maseches Trumos. Gimel, mashkin asurim shem gilui. The snakes evidently have a liking for the following three types of liquids, and they're usher if they leave them open: mayim, v'yayin, v'chalav, water, wine, and milk. By the way, nowadays the prevalent custom is not to be makbid on gilui, because for the most part, we live in populated urban areas where there are no commonly found, you know, snakes, and you know. But interestingly, some sheikhs, like the Vilna Gaon, was very machmir because he held that even a situation which may have changed, but since it was established as an edict, as a takana, as a gzera by the Chazal, by the Chachamim years ago, you know, there are very many layers to these takanas. Some that we understand, the more simple, you know, concerns as we learn it, but there are a lot of hidden layers as well, which are based on, you know, hidden portions of the Torah. So he held on to all those takanas, even nowadays where, you know, the physical circumstance may have changed. So he was very makbid on gilui, to always, you know, make sure things are covered, not exposed. But all agree that if you're out in the country, in a place where there are, you know, snakes and things commonly found, you have to ensure that things are covered and properly protected from these visitors. Okay, become a yishu v'yasur. Now, how long do you leave it open and it's a problem? A second? I mean, you've got to give enough time for the... Could they shiatzi have rachash, the slitherer, the sneaky snake, give him enough time to slither out makom karev from very close by, v'yishu and have a drink. Become a makom karev, how close by? I mean, let's get a, you know, precise, you know, number here. Omar Abyutzak Beder Avido Kadeshiyetze Metachas Oizna Klivishta. Perhaps the snake is hiding right behind, underneath the handle, hiding right there. If you left it out enough, with enough time for the snake to slither out from there, take a drink, then you're in trouble. Ask the Gemara, well, then you would notice him. Let's say it takes him 3 seconds to slither into the thing and start drinking, and then if it happened, you would see him right there, yishta, just a drink. Hakachazle sees it, and if he doesn't see it, apparently it didn't happen. Oh, ela yishta v'yachs l'chir. We have to add a little more time to let him get back, sneak back home into his hole. So let's say it takes 10 seconds for him to come out, have a drink, and go back. So under 10 seconds, you're safe. Otherwise, spill it out. Okay, so we discussed the Talmud Chacham, being proficient in all kinds of handy things, shchita, mila, some say kesher shel tefillin, etc., etc. Sheva brachas, right? We spoke about a shoychet certainly having to be proficient in the halachis, in addition to having the, you know, the hands-on, you know, experience. We spoke about the requirement to check the simonim to ensure that they were properly cut. Otherwise, the animal is forbidden, whether it has tumor or not. That was dependent on the machlekes. We had an interesting chiddush from Rav Huna that there is a cheskas iser during the lifetime unless it was changed through a proper shchita. But once the shchita took place, even though there was some sort of issue that occurred later, we hope for the best, because that has a cheskas heter, versus matters of sakana, where we're momachmer, and there even a slight chance requires us to keep away, to protect our guf, v'nishmarta v'idam shaseichem, so we're choshed even for a slight chance. All the best to you, and atzlacha.